Support for this public radio podcast comes from Acura, featuring the TL Type S with a 286-horsepower V6 and real-time traffic alerts. Learn more at Acura.com.
From KQED Public Radio, this is the California Report. Good morning, I'm Scott Schaefer, in today for Rachel Miro. The FAA is investigating how a United Airlines 757 backed into a SkyWest commuter jet at SFO last night. Both planes were damaged, but no one was hurt. A recent FAA report named SFO as one of the nation's riskiest airports for near collisions. The writer's strike took the glamour out of last night's Golden Globe Awards in Los Angeles. Atonement was chosen Best Dramatic Film, but no one was even there to accept the award. Sweeney Todd won in the Best Musical or Comedy category. And the San Diego Chargers surprised the Indianapolis Colts in Sunday's AFC playoff game. The Chargers will have to get past the undefeated New England Patriots next week to win a spot in the February 3rd Super Bowl. I know it's Monday morning, in the middle of winter no less, but imagine a nice, clear swimming pool. Lush green lawns and a warm, sunny day in Southern California. So how is this area that supposedly uses so much water going to fare under a changing climate? Our LA Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz is here to talk about this. And Rob, what do you think?
Actually, Southern California is better at saving water than you might think. Los Angeles, for example, uses the same amount of water today as it did in 1990, even though during that same period, the city added 4 million people.
How'd they do that?
Well, the region's main water agency persuaded the public to start using water more efficiently through all sorts of programs. But now they have a challenge. Scientists say climate change will bring warmer temperatures and less snowpack runoff from the Sierra.
Well, I hear you have an experiment that is going to show us how this will affect the water supply.
I do indeed. And I did this experiment in my office. Here's what you do. Get a paper cup, go to the fridge, and fill the cup with ice. Now poke a hole in the bottom of that cup and wait. While you're waiting, think about the ice in that cup as winter snow in the Sierra. The Metropolitan Water District of Southern California has used this snow to supply more than 18 million people with water. Jeff Keitlinger is the district's general manager.
The great thing about snowpack is it's like a reservoir. It melts slowly, gradually as the weather heats up, and we can build our system and our canals and our pipes a smaller size and take that water as it melts.
Do you still have that cup of ice? Well, mine's starting to slowly drip from the hole in the bottom. Now, scientists say that if carbon dioxide emissions continue at their current rate, temperatures will rise and this snowpack throughout the Sierra will be reduced by 90% by the end of the century. Snow will become rain, and that dripping you just heard will sound more like this. This is the future the Water District's Keitlinger is preparing for.
Now, if you have this much more, sheet-type action where the water is just coming down and you have to move it and move it quickly, you have to have larger facilities, larger pipes, and you need more storage.
This type of future has prompted Southern California's largest water distributor to spend over $1 billion on a gigantic pipeline. It's called the Inland Feeder. At the foot of the San Bernardino Mountains, a huge concrete tunnel protrudes from a brown rock wall. It's hot and dusty. A group of us in hard hats, orange vests, and boots descends a flight of stairs.
I'm standing at the entrance to the western section of the Inland Feeder Tunnel. I'm about to get on a train that's going to take me 2.5 miles underneath the ground.
This train won't be here in a couple of years. This tunnel will be filled with water. It was constructed with climate change in mind. Its large circumference, it's 12 feet high, will accommodate a lot of water. It's designed for a future of isolated storms upstream that'll dump much heavier volumes of water than today's storms. This 44-mile pipeline will carry water that originated in the western Sierra down to a huge reservoir in southern Riverside County called Diamond Valley Lake. John Bednarski is the project manager.
So when the project's completed, we'll be flowing at full capacity of 1,000 cubic feet per second of water, or the equivalent to filling an Olympic swimming pool in 2 seconds.
That'll triple the capacity of moving imported water to Southern California. Climate change expert and UC Santa Barbara professor Bob Wilkinson thinks projects like the Inland Feeder are good ideas in the face of climate change. But he points out Californians would also do well to focus on the water storage capacity we have underneath our feet.
The myth has been perpetuated that Southern California is a desert. There's no water in Southern California. Of course, the reason that people settled in many parts of the LA Basin was the rich local groundwater resources.
Places throughout the LA Basin were actually named after this abundance of groundwater. Artesia was named after its many artesian wells. Actually, half the water in the entire Southern California region is local groundwater.
Now, keep in mind that we've got millions of acre feet of groundwater potential storage, basically dams underground, in the Central Valley and in Southern California.
Think of a groundwater basin as a big sponge. If you pour water on it, it soaks it up. If all the groundwater basins in LA were one big sponge, you could add enough to supply Southern California's population for 2 years. That's how much groundwater storage space isn't being used. Wilkinson says that in the face of a warmer climate, less water, and more people, California's cities will need to more efficiently use what they've already got. Wilkinson points to the Inland Empire city of Chino as an example. And what Chino has are cows. Lots of them. The city has historically been one of the largest dairy farm centers in the state. What do cows have to do with conserving water? Well, for decades, their waste actually contaminated a fifth of the Chino Basin, one of the largest groundwater aquifers in Southern California. Now, the Inland Empire Utilities Agency is using that water by pumping it through a desalination plant that provides drinking water for 35,000 families. And more than half of the energy to power this plant comes from the very thing that contaminated the water in the first place. Chino's desalination plant runs largely on the methane gas from the fresh manure of the city's cow population. Engineer Randy Lee takes me to the facility where farmers drop off the cow waste. As we fight the urge to pinch our noses, a truck rumbles up.
This is a truck filled with manure. It looks like a gas truck almost.
Right. This tanker can hold 5,000 gallons of manure. He's weighing it right now. Typically, we like them to fill up all the way to the top.
That's manure whose greenhouse gases won't be wasted. For its waste, that water agencies throughout the state will be targeting in the years to come, whether it's from energy or from water use. The Metropolitan Water District's Jeff Keitlinger says his customers will pay for this waste. Soon enough, he says, water bills will cost more than cable television bills, a not too gentle reminder that climate change is more than just a theory. It's here and now. For the California Report, I'm Rob Schmitz in Los Angeles.
That's the California Report for Monday, January 14th, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Scott Schaefer. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the James Irvine Foundation, sponsoring the James Irvine Foundation Leadership Awards, with information online at www.irvine.org, and the California Endowment, working to ensure that Californians get statewide health reform this year, online at cahealthreformnow.org.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from Vanguard, offering investments designed to help individuals, institutions, and advisors reach their long-term financial goals. 1-888-VANGUARD.